email ray@rte.ie. The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Ray@rte.ie. O'Malley's on Dominic Street in Galway has been a landmark there since 1938. It has sold hand-knitted clothes to both locals and tourists from all over the world and are renowned for their craftsmanship and quality. But after 86 years, they're hanging up the knitting needles and are preparing the shop for closure. Annie Wyla runs the shop and joins me now on the line from O'Malley's in Galway. Good afternoon, Anne.
Good afternoon, Ray. Lovely to hear from you.
Yeah, thanks for taking our call. This is a bittersweet time for you. When exactly are the doors closing?
Well, we don't have an actual date, but we're talking about 3 weeks, I would say. And by the way, we started off in Dominic Street and we were there for 59 years. And then 27 years ago, my husband and I moved to High Street.
Right. OK.
So it is a long history.
Yes, it is a very long history. And why? Why are you closing, Anne?
I can tell you what age I am and I can tell you what age Ger is, and then you might say it's a good idea. I'm 73 years old,
right.
Ger is 74. We've worked very hard all our lives and we came from that sort of hard-working background. And if that necessitated 7 days a week, then we did it.
Yeah.
I'm a bit shocked that at the age of 70, I started to get old. But I want to have a rest.
Right.
And then I want to start travelling. And
yes.
I want to start doing all the things that I love to do. I have a lot of interests.
Yeah.
And so I think it is time. And it's also a fact that we've done it very well. And we would like to go out on a high note.
You quit while you're ahead. Great.
Yep.
Yeah. Now, tell people who don't know about O'Malley's. So, 1938, and that's your husband's side of the family.
Yes. Well, there were five family members who thought it was a good idea to open a drapery shop in Dominic Street in Galway in March. Now, they told us it was sometime around St. Patrick's Day, and some of them would have cycled from their home place in the country and cycled home and had their mother had the dinner ready for them, cycled back. That's how they operated. You know, there were actually very few cars. It was very little petrol, all of those things. So they launched and they did very well. They had a great admiration for wool. And in those days, there was plenty of wool spun, which was available for knitting, but there was also weaving. And so the shop was full of bolts of fabric. And they had tailors. They had tailors working for them and they had seamstresses. And
so you could come in off the street and get a bespoke suit made.
Yes.
Or a dress.
Yes.
And was it general drapery?
It was general drapery. So there was a bit of everything.
Yes.
You know, you could buy socks, you could buy shirts and ties and all of that sort of thing. The ties were made in Connemara by Albert Miller. And then there would have been hats and caps. We had hats and cap makers all over the country. But the bolts of fabric took up quite a large space in the old shop. There was a long counter where Auntie Sis did the cutting out and the sewing. We have her sewing machine is upstairs. It belonged to her mother, and I would put a date of 1895 on it. It's a hand, using by hand,
sewing machine.
Very basic, still in perfect working order. And at a certain stage, they were very fortunate. There were a lot of people who could be described as gentry still. So we had the hunting and fishing people who needed heavy-duty jackets made for them. Then John Ford, the filmmaker, came to make The Quiet Man, and he needed costumes. That was 1951.
Right.
And he was introduced to the family, and they made the costumes.
For John Wayne. Maureen O'Hara.
Yes, yeah. Our tailor, a lovely man called Paddy O'Connor, made a jacket for John Wayne the day he arrived.
Right.
And he wore that all the time he was in the area. And he liked to swan about in this lovely jacket. And then Maureen O'Hara's clothes were made by our aunt. And she went to Ashford Castle where the film was being made. And she did the fittings for Maureen O'Hara. And she told us that she travelled by Rolls-Royce. And then she wouldn't tell us anymore. She was very shy. She was very serious. And she said it was great work at the time.
Right. And that's your Aunt Sis. That's your Aunt Sis, is it?
Sorry?
That was your Aunt Sis.
Aunt Sis. Maura was her real name. And she came from the country as well.
Okay.
So,
And tell us about the importance of the Aran sweater then.
Well, the Aran sweater became very important, particularly towards the end of the 1950s, and then with the Clancy brothers wearing the Aran sweaters on stage in Carnegie Hall. They must have melted in the heat, but their mother thought it was a good idea. So then my mother-in-law, who was Bridie, she was getting orders. And, you know, a letter would arrive in the post in an envelope, and she would look at the details somebody gave. How tall was the person? What did they weigh? And she would just get out a piece of paper and decide what size sweater she'd make. And she'd ask one of her knitters to make it.
Okay.
And that was going, that became a very big part of the business and continues to be the case. I came into the business in 1974 when I married Gerard O'Molya, and I've been in it ever since. And I am a knitter. So I took to that part of the business very happily.
You're a knitter, yes. And so tell us about your knitters then, because I know you have them all over Galway and Clare and some in Mayo as well.
I've always said that I'll talk to a good knitter anywhere.
Right.
And I've been fortunate to know women who are inspired, and their talent is great. They were never praised for their talent, I noticed. I started to praise my knitters and thank them for what they did, and they tended to blush, and I don't think they got that. So as a result, we became great friends, and I have worked with wonderful women. Now, they're knitting the cable stitches, and they would have learned from their mothers. The drill was that, you know, if your mother was knitting in the house at the age of 12, you were given the needles, you sat beside your mother or your grandmother, and you were told to be quiet and do what she was doing. And that is exactly what they did. And so, you know, there were no iPads in those days.
No.
There was no printed pattern for them. Most of my knitters never saw a printed pattern. They just picked it up.
Right.
And
sort of rites of passage. It was a rites of passage.
Oh,
listen,
I praise their talent.
Anne Niwoyla from O'Malley's on, used to be on Dominic Street in Galway, has moved across the river now. We have the daughter of one of your knitters, who's also our producer in charge on the show, Niamh Hassell. And your mother's name, Niamh?
It's Betty.
Betty.
Yeah, hi, Anne.
Yeah. Hi, how are you?
Yeah, so she was one of the 100 knitters that would have knitted for O'Malley's. And I was quite emotional when I heard that O'Malley's was going to be closing down, because it was such an institution in my childhood, you know. So,
And what memories have you got of your mother knitting for O'Malley's?
Oh, well, like, it was intrinsic to her. So she would have done it for an extra bit of cash, you know, around the house, because we grew up in a B&B and we used the house as a source of income. It was students in the winter in Galway and the B&B in the summer. And she was always a great knitter. She was always a very expert knitter, so it was intrinsic to her. She could do the most complicated, beautiful patterns without taking her eyes off the TV. So this kind of click clacking of the knitting needles was the soundtrack to my childhood. Yeah. You know, so you'd you know, the guests that would come into the sitting room sometimes before they had to somewhere to sit, and before we had a separate sitting room for them, they'd sit in with us and they were fascinated by it. So my mum would always send them down to O'Malley's, you know. So it was lovely. One of the big things was she'd get the skins of wool. So she'd get the pattern of what she was about to knit, and she'd go down to Anne and she'd get the skins of wool that'd be provided.
What's a skin of wool?
I'll let Anne explain that. A skein, is it? We would call them skeins, Anne.
Yeah, hold on now. Well, a skein is it's an old Norse word, and there's about 9 ounces of wool, 250 grams, and it's rolled in a certain way. It's twisted, and then it becomes a skein. And you would have had to do the hard work. And since I spoke to you this morning, I do remember you and your mother, and I remember those stories. So that's brought back the memories. But we would, someone would either have to put their arms out, hold the skein, and then another person did the winding.
Yes, yes.
And that took a while, so the arms would get very tight. And in our house, we used to put two straight back chairs back to back.
Ah, you see.
And then you walked around the tier and you made it. And it was important to make a perfect skein because the knitting would run smoothly then from that skein.
Yeah.
And this is an element of what we did. My knitters were perfectionists, and they still are. And, you know, they didn't take any shortcuts.
No.
They didn't.
Yeah.
And I remember holding out our arms.
Efficient style. Yeah.
Myself, my sister Aoife would have an argument about who'd have to hold out the arms and who would have to ball the wool, this bonine wool, because there was a kind of an oily residue that was left on your hands and your skin afterwards.
Yeah, that's called lanolin.
Yes, that was the lanolin, that was it. And she dropped the skein one day and that was it for her. So she was always had the tired arms. But then the big day was when she had to sew the big pieces of the jumper together.
Yeah.
And, you know, you'd hold an arm or the front or when she was putting the embroidery needle through it. And then the big day, and I was probably the bold one because I was so excited when we'd walk into town and she'd produce the finished jumper into Anne. Anne would inspect it and it was always met with great praise. And then she'd get paid. And then because she'd get paid, I'd get a treat. And then we'd walk home then afterwards. Well, like probably a bar of chocolate or something like that if it was the summertime.
And just because you can't see us because it's on the radio, Niamh is actually wearing a cardigan, a splendid looking cardigan that was knitted by your mother, Betty.
Yeah.
Tell us about the cardigan.
So this is, a mohair cardigan that nearly ended her eyesight.
Those,
so she had, it was a very complicated pattern. It's kind of a zebra pattern of white and black. So each of them is a ribbed kind of, it kind of curls in around each other into kind of a square. So it was the only thing she ever knitted for herself. And after she died 12 years ago, it was the only piece of clothing that I took from her.
Oh. And isn't it coincidental that you wore it in today and we're talking to Anne now about your mother's knitting?
Yeah.
And I'm very sad that I never mastered the art to knit. You know, I watched her, but it was just, she was so expert at it. And I tried my hand at it and I was just never quite coordinated enough. I'm kind of a knit one, purl one kind of gal. But the cabling that she did and all the honeycombs and everything was just so beautiful and so complicated that, and the other thing I loved about Amalia's was the fact that they relied on the talents of local women who didn't have an opportunity maybe to go out and work and were very busy during the day and running around after their kids and all sorts of stuff. And then like at the night, like in the nighttime, it was something just as a hobby for them to do, but like admired. Yeah. And I just think sometimes of all the jumpers that are walking around on tourists that hopefully still have them because they last
knitted
for so
by
long.
Women from around
so
the area.
So somewhere out there, there's a jumper knitted by Betty that's
Betty
walking
Hassel.
Around the place.
And it says, just a couple of texts. John says, I've gotten to know Anne and Ger over many years, a unique shop with a unique shopping experience. My mam still warms her shoulders in the kitchen with a scarf I bought in Amalia's for an ex. When the ex left it behind one time, my mam claimed it and once asked mischievously, I wonder which she misses more, you or the scarf. I wish Anne and Ger all the best and hope to share a glass of wine in the hideout with them when they have a bit more time. That's John. And sorry to hear Amalia's in Galway City is closing. I travel from Dublin to buy my wool there on a regular basis. I'll have to go visit before they close, says Anne, another Anne. And another Anne, yet another Anne. Can you please ask Anne if the online shop is still open? I'd like to order an Aran sweater. That's an Anne there.
It's probably best to put her in touch with me and we'll sort it out.
Yeah.
I ask certain questions and then I proceed with the order.
Okay.
And I'll do the best I can.
Okay. Yeah. Well, Anne, thanks so much for taking our call. We didn't, like, Taylor Swift was in there as well. That would have been a bounce, wouldn't it, in orders from America?
Yeah. Well, we've had so many very, very famous people coming through and we looked after them very well. I remember not recognising some very famous people until they gave me their credit cards. But I felt they were travelling, they were on holiday and they deserved a bit of
Do a bit of name dropping there for the crack. Go on.
Well, one of our best customers would have been John Huston, the filmmaker, who had a home in County Galway. He was out at St. Clarence.
Right.
And as it happened, his lovely daughter, Angelica, came to school in Loughrea, where I was in fourth class in school at the time. And Angelica spent a year with us.
Uh-huh.
And she was an amazing character. And of course, it was a very exotic experience for us, because life was very plain in Loughrea at that time.
Yeah.
And so then here was a very tall young woman wearing a Harris tweed suit and high boots. And I've met her since. We've kept in touch. And she's a one. That was a wonderful connection for me.
Yes, okay.
And she came back to visit us when she was being given an award at the Film Flaw some years ago, and we had a lovely reunion. And she remembered, she was talking to my husband, talking to her, saying, you know, that she had wonderful memories of the old shop in Dominic Street. That was nice.
Well, Anne, listen, yourself and Ger, I hope you enjoy your retirement.
Yes.
And as you know now, you'll be sadly missed. Amalia's down in Galway.
Yeah.
I'm looking at Niamh here. She's going to miss you terribly. So she might get down home.
Oh, well, we'll make sure to get together.
Yes.
And all day long now, every day, there are old customers are coming to visit. We've had some lovely reunions today. And so many people just giving us little bits of information about our Uncle Stifon, who was a great Irish speaker and scholar. And who loved to fish on the Corrib, Loch Corrib, and always said he preferred to be on Loch Corrib or reading a book in Connemara, but he had to come in and do the day job. and he was a very true Irish person.
Yes. And Niamh O'Leary, thanks so much, Anne, for taking our call. Good luck with everything.
You're welcome.
Bye now.
Yes.
Bye. Bye. Thanks, Niamh. Thank you.
Good luck,
bye.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.